Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th day of October, Anno Domini 2021. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Before we get to the news, let me thank Mark, who was kind enough to become a member of the station. Yes, we are in a pledge drive. We come to you twice a year asking for your generous support to keep this station and this show on the air.
Were you referring to the one I just told you?
Yeah.
That was Martin. I'm sorry.
Martin, I beg your pardon. Dave is old. Sometimes his teeth start to fall out while he's talking. It's hard.
I said it clearly to you.
You did. I can't hear. I'm getting old. And I had my headphones on. So, thank you, Martin. And there was a hole in my glove and the sun was in my eye. Shut
up. I love the way we're older. We can, pawn it off on other things. Yeah. It works. Right. It works for me.
Works. That's all that counts.
Yeah.
Here's the news. On Tuesday, Microsoft released Windows updates to fix bugs and security vulnerabilities as part of the October 2021 patch Tuesday.
I'm still cussing at this.
Since installing the KB5006670 update, users are reporting that they cannot print to network print servers, with some users receiving 709 or element not found error when attempting to print. Since July, Microsoft has been releasing a constant stream of security updates to fix the print nightmare vulnerabilities in the Windows print spooler. As threat actors, including ransomware gangs, actively exploit these vulnerabilities, Microsoft has changed its point and print printing feature dramatically and drastically. Unfortunately, while these changes fix the vulnerabilities, they also lead to problems printing to network print servers. Let's face it, if no one can reach your print server, then no one can hack your printer.
And you know what's the bigger issue? And I'm sure you can relate to it too. When all of a sudden you get a phone call, and it's the lovely wife.
Oh, yeah.
My printer won't work. How do I get it to fix it? Meanwhile, you're trying to work or in a meeting.
Right.
And she wants step by step, and it's not working.
Yep.
And it's my fault.
Yep.
Yeah, it's clearly your fault. You were the last person to touch the printer. As threat actors, including ransomware gangs, actively exploit these vulnerabilities. Oh, I read that one already. This week, Microsoft released a lot further security updates for Windows printing vulnerabilities, likely causing the new network printing issues. What makes these printing issues so frustrating is Microsoft's lack of clear guidance and the numerous changes that happen each month to the Windows printing feature. As these changes all resolve different vulnerable aspects of the Windows print spooler, they create a mess of individual fixes that Windows admins need to figure out whether they will fix their printing problems or they won't fix their printing problems, what's going to show up next month. Anyway, our poll of the week.
It's frequent that a Windows update screws up printing.
Yeah, it's happening every month now.
Mm-hmm.
So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows update kills network printing again. Your choices are, this is getting ridiculous, I'm sure they'll patch the patch of the patch shortly, didn't affect me, my Windows 95 is fine, Windows, and other. So far, we've got 27 votes. Didn't affect me is number one, congratulations, that means you're on, or I'm sorry, because that means you're probably on a lower version of Windows 10 and you're about to lose support.
Or they haven't tried printing lately, because right. A lot of folks have cut back on printing because, everything is, you know, they're online. If you got a question about something, you just quick do a Google search and boom, it's there. You can read it. And
right.
You're giving away our secrets. See, we're not all that smarter than anyone else. We just have better Google foo.
That's exactly right. And of course, if you have more to say, you can head on over to the forum. Again, at soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 16 Oct 21 Windows Update kills network printing again.
Well, it didn't. It not only killed my network printer, which is, you know, it's an HP 4000 that I've got, you know, the network card in it. The wireless printer.
Oh, yeah.
Messed that up, too. And it's like, son of a gun. So, because then you got to go through, you know, each computer now and fix the connections. And for me, that was four different computers.
Right.
It's like a pain in the butt.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. And listen, don't worry about it, though. You're getting a lot of practice for next month when it'll happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And the month after that. And the month after that. And I get it. There's a lot of people who have been hit by hackers coming in through the printing system. And that's why Microsoft is screwing around with it so much. But get it right, people. You're being paid a lot of money to get it right. Get it right. It's getting it. You know, I get it. I sympathize. The bad actors are bad.
Mm-hmm. I like the guys that try to help by printing a page on your printer saying you're vulnerable to this exploit. You should install this update.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's when they tell you the exact fix for your problem.
Exactly. So listen, folks, make sure when you do an update that there's nothing you can do. What am I saying? There's nothing you can do for this one. If you do the update and you have a problem, then you have a problem and we all wait for the fix. Not much can be done about it. You can try deleting your printer and reinstalling it. Maybe, but it's really the issue is in the print drive and in the print subsystem of Windows.
Yep.
And so a fix isn't as likely as you might think, an easy fix. But you know what? You can also give us a call. And what's important right now is we want to thank all the people who've been so generous and so kind as to become members of Jazz 90.1. We are in a pledge drive. This is our second Saturday. I'll be very honest, we did not do well last Saturday. We simply did not. It was not a good week. Thanks to all of you who did pledge. Most of you pledged online, and many of you pledged online during the week, although almost none of those were any of the people who listen to the podcast. We have many hundreds of people who download the podcast every week, and most of them never become members. And I'm saddened and disappointed.
Yeah, I wonder why, you know, if they enjoy the show that much, that they take the time to, you know, download it and then listen to it, that they wouldn't take the time to at least, you know, make the additional time to support us.
That's exactly
so right. That they can continue downloading it, because we've made it very clear and simple. You don't pledge, we're off the air. It's cut and dry, folks.
This is your vote. Do you like this show? Vote for it. Make the phone call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You'll get to talk to the charming and delightful Michael Oden. And as Dennis said last week, tell him a joke. Tell him your favorite joke. First make the pledge. Or alternately, and here's the coolest thing, because you're all computer people. You're either listening to a computer, you're sitting in front of your computer, you got a computer in your hand or in your pocket. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast during the week, you've just pulled it up on your computer or your phone, or you pulled it up using the Jazz 90.1 app, which also you can donate through. It takes less than 2 minutes. It's completely secure. And let's be honest, we want to stay on the air.
Well, that's one thing. I was perfect segue. You know, we've said this year after year. You know, you don't pledge, we come off the air. And that is the truth, folks. We're not just sitting there saying this just to get you all hyped up and everything else, thinking, oh, yeah, they'll be there. Doesn't matter. I don't have to worry about that. Well, we've been lucky so far. We're literally playing Russian roulette. And the fact that, you know, that our listeners do come through, but we need you to actually do it. Not thinking about it or just thinking about it and not taking action isn't going to get it done. So eventually, one of these times, we might not make it, and then you'll see. But we've been fortunate enough so far to get the money in to keep us on the air because you folks enjoy this show.
And sometimes one of the kind of the hidden facts of radio is that your show disappears. You don't know why. You don't know where they went. And it means they didn't generate enough revenue for the station to keep them on the air.
That's the only thing. Popularity is the only thing that will keep things on the radio. If you, excuse me, have heard other radio shows or talk shows or everything else, the only thing that keeps them on the air is their popularity. Because it brings in revenue. If it doesn't bring in revenue, they cut it. It's just like your TV shows. Think of about it that way. The ratings always come out, and whether that show is going to survive is dependent upon you folks voting for it and liking it. And that's what drives it. It's the same with these the shows that are on this radio station. It's the popularity. If you don't have the popularity, it's going to go and something else is going to replace it.
And listen, let's get honest. We're here for you every week.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 years, we've been here for you every single week. It's your turn to be here for us. Pick up the phone, make the call, make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. We couldn't make it any easier for you unless we came to your home with a form in our hands. So make the call.
And we did that. We emailed it to you mailed it to you.
Mailed it to you.
Yeah.
So make the call and make the pledge. It takes less than 2 minutes. And at any level of membership, including your own, make up your own. You know, we have people who say, "Well, I didn't pledge because I didn't have a lot of money." But it doesn't have to be a lot of money; it just has to be money. Huh. And you know, being honest, I get it. These are perilous economic times, but they have been for 30 years, and you folks have stepped up, and we need you to step up again.
One other thing we should talk about, since they'll wait for the folks to call, is the topic that we were talking about just before the show. And that's another scam that's going around on Facebook, folks. I had a friend at work all of a sudden say, "I didn't know this person is still around in that." And what it was is he got a request for this individual to friend him. And I go, "Let's take a look at this." And we did a little research. And what the scam is now, folks, is somebody that you know, they might turn around and steal their picture and then set up another bogus request.
So the bad guy steals a picture of someone you know because pictures are public.
Yep. And they put it up there and it said, "Oh, you know, friend me," and that. And then all of a sudden he was starting to get requests for all this other information. "Oh, how you doing? And you, did you hear of my great opportunity?" Yeah. And they lead you into this and it's literally a scam.
And it may have a name similar to your friend, because you can. There are people with the same name on the internet, so you can't.
What?
You can't stop that.
Unbelievable.
Let me know if you're going to do that again, so I can turn the camera off.
Thank you. I never realized I kept the inner shirt on. Don't get excited, everybody. This is as far as I go.
But I had that something happen to me. Same thing happened to me a year or so ago on Facebook. People started telling me that there was someone else with my name asking them to be friends. They had copied a couple of my public photos and made it their profile picture. So people thought it was me. And the usual thing, yeah, my account got hacked, and so I had to make a new account, and so friend me here. No, your account didn't get hacked. It's a lookalike account or a clone account.
Well, and we see that all the time. I got hacked on Facebook. You probably didn't get hacked. It's just a clone account.
Yeah,
or you filled out those surveys.
Or they'll use the name in there.
Right.
They'll use the name in there and no picture. That
no
should
picture.
Be a
yeah.
big
If
warning.
Someone has no picture, I don't even look.
Delete them. You know, there's that thing. It's called the phone inside that little device that you're using.
Yeah.
You can actually call the person.
And if you don't want to call them, here's an easy thing. Look them up on Facebook. If you see two nearly identical accounts, particularly if you're already friends with one of them, you can ignore the other one of them.
Yep. So don't fall for it, folks. I mean, don't want to scare you, but we're coming up on the holidays, and they're trying to get creative.
That is scary.
Yep.
You know, and ways to trick you. I guarantee you they're going to come out with, again, the UPS, scams. You know, oh, we got a package waiting for you, or the USPS that, you know, there's mail waiting for you, or that.
Just enter your tracking number, and we'll make sure it gets delivered to us, not to you anymore, because we have your tracking number.
Or send us, you know, $10, and we'll, you know, release this and get it out to you because it says it's coming to you, and it's like, no, it's just another scam. But they're coming. I mean, let's face it. Yeah, that was one disturbing thing I noticed, though, in the stores. Here, we're not even Halloween.
Oh,
September. Christmas showed up.
Yeah.
Christmas stuff showed up in September.
Yeah, the stores are already putting up Christmas trees.
Yep.
I think there should be a federal law against that until after Thanksgiving.
You can get a turkey under a Christmas tree. But actually, that's another scam now. There's all these rumors going around about Christmas shortages, and you better buy your stuff now.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really. There aren't really Christmas shortages. They just want you to buy your stuff now and then buy more stuff later.
Exactly.
And go through the panicked buying again.
I told you, I bought this watch. I ordered it through Woot on Wednesday at about 1 a.m. and it showed up Thursday morning at my house. It didn't
That's
seem
amazing.
To have a problem getting to me in a day.
Yeah.
So
I saw a meme probably on Facebook. I grew up in Beirut in the 80s. I lived through a war. We never ran out of toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah. It's look, when you make that call and make that pledge at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or securely online at jazz901.org or on the Jazz app, then you will have a chance to pick up one of our benefits. I don't think they call them gifts anymore. Maybe they still do.
So it's members with benefits?
Members with benefits. You can, at the $50 member which is only 14 cents a day, you can pick up the Soundbites 2 gig thumb drive. Just think how odd people will be to see you pulling out that thumb drive.
Mm-hmm. I think we should have got one actually shaped like a thumb.
That would have been good.
That would have fit us.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
At the $90.10 level, you get the Jazz 90.1 Enhanced Member Card, which is the most amazing thing. You get BOGOs and discounts and buy one, get one, you know, half off or whatever, at all kinds of places. And if you go out even a few times this next year, you'll more than make back your $90. Believe me.
Easily.
Believe me. Or you can get the tote bag or the baseball cap or the coffee mug. Shopping bags, T-shirts, depending on your level of support. And like I said, we have levels all the way from $35 up to $365. But if you want to give less than that, or Lord knows if you want to give more than that, we'll be happy to let you make up your own level. You don't get any of the gifts. If it's lower than $35, you don't get any of the gifts. But, you know, if it's higher, you get more gifts. And it's a better thing for everybody concerned. And before we get to the phones, let's just mention Jazz-O-Matic. Jazz-O-Matic is a way to fire and forget. You make the pledge and say, I want you to take any amount of money, minimum $10 monthly out of my checking account. And we do, with your permission, of course. And then that happens every minute, every month, every minute. Dave's telling me we only got a couple minutes left before the break. Every month we take that amount out. But let's say you pledge $10. Well, that's the $120 level, or as we call it, the hey, nice shirt level. And that means that right away you get two Jazz 90.1 enhanced member cards plus the short sleeve T-shirt. And all for just saying, I want to be a Jazz-O-Matic member at $10 a month. Or, of course, you know, you can pledge more or more or even more than that and get the gifts at that level as well. So make the call and make the pledge. We need your help. We need your support. We're going to take a quick break, but if you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to your calls right after the break, I promise. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 26 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That soundbite's right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You that we are member supported. Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, we are soundbites. We're about to go back to the phones, but let me remind you, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz app. And we will now go to the phones and talk.
Well, I posted a list on our website. It's also on the Jazz website. Many local businesses will match your pledge. So be sure to check that list. And for every dollar you pledge, your company may match it.
Double your money immediately?
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
Mm-mm.
All right, so check that out, and we'll go to the phones and talk to Doug from Holly, New York. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Hi. Good afternoon, guys.
Thank you for being patient.
Oh, no problem. I have this is a question about Mac. I have a older Mac Mini that use as my daily driver, and I don't do anything extraneous with it. The one key thing is that I have a Plex server on it, and I have that connected to a Synology network drive. I have a newer MacBook Pro. With also a newer OS. So what I want to plan to do is take the connect the MacBook Pro to my server, and it seems like every time I try to do that, I get a server can't be found or something like that. So what I think I want to do, and again I'm not sure, but if I do a migration from the Mac Mini to the MacBook, is that going to be something that I just start up, you know, migration assistant and
yep.
transfer? Or?
Yeah, and then it copies all the data from your old computer to your new computer.
Okay.
How old is your Synology NAS?
Oh, I'm going to say 2-3 years.
Yeah, maybe. Synology mostly typically uses the SMB file sharing protocol, and SMB version 1 is what's beyond deprecated.
ancient,
yeah, and has a lot of security issues. So most modern file sharing clients and newer OSs require at least SMB 2, if not SMB 3. So if your Synology is only putting out SMB 1. That could be why the Mac can't see it on the network, because it requires SMB2.
Well, are you trying to connect to the Synology drive or to the Plex server on the Mac Mini?
Oh, okay. The Mac Mini works fine with Flex, but it is a 11-year-old computer, and the MacBook Pro is 2 years newer and has a better processor and better graphics. So that's why I would like to transfer everything over.
Yep.
Sure.
So the Mac Mini is running 10.13, I think. That OS is two behind what's on the MacBook Pro.
Oh, 10.13. Yeah, 10.1 is ancient. 10.13
10.13, and then the MacBook Pro has 10.15.
15, yep.
So I can still do migration even though there's that big of a...
But that won't necessarily connect you to the Synology
drive. That's a different issue.
Right.
All right.
The problem with the Synology drive, if it is in fact still only putting out SMB1, is that you cannot connect to it with your MacBook Pro.
You'd have to update the Synology OS in order to add SMB2.
Okay. That's something that you do through the web interface.
Yes.
With the Synology.
For the Synology. Or maybe through the app. I know some of the newer Synologies have an app.
Okay. All righty. Yeah, I just want to try to get a little more oomph out of my system here. And the MacBook Pro has got a 4-core processor and
Generally, we like going computer to computer for migration. It seems to, it seems to work better than trying to restore from a backup. Even though if you run a backup now and then immediately restore from backup, it just feels better to go from computer to computer.
What about if I erased what's on the MacBook Pro and installed 10.13 and then did the migration?
You may not be able to. Newer model computers require newer OSs.
Okay.
What do you know what model the MacBook Pro is?
It's a 2012, I think.
Oh, that's ancient.
Yeah, that's only 2 years newer. And I think it shipped with 10, I think.
Well, the easiest thing to do at this point, assuming that you don't have anything else. Look, if you migrate from the Mac Mini to the MacBook Pro, your Plex server will be over there, and that'll be great, except it still won't connect to the Synology drive. So no matter what you do, you have to update the OS on the Synology drive.
Yeah, you could leave the Mac Mini as your Plex server and then access it from the MacBook Pro through the Mini.
For as long as it lives.
For as long as it lives, yeah. But I would recommend keeping the MacBook Pro on 10.15 because you'll have the latest security protocols, and it will work with modern websites.
Okay.
So update the Synology drive, and then you should be able to connect it directly to the MacBook. Once you've done that, once you verify you can do that, then you can move the Plex server over to the MacBook Pro and be safer.
Okay, I will give that a try.
Okie doke. Thanks.
All right, thanks for your help.
Yep.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. We'd like to thank some folks who have been kind enough to pledge. We want to thank Andy and Edward and William and Andrew and Betty for their very generous donations. Thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. And let's be honest, we very much need it. We need to be continuing to stay on the air. We want to stay on the air. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz901 app, which, of course, every single one of you has on your phone, so you can listen to great jazz all week and us on the weekend. And we'll go back to the phones and talk to Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Victor. What's up?
Hi, guys. I use the app Keyring to store my loyalty cards. And I got a bunch on there, and I just got a new loyalty card today, and I wanted to add it, and I opened up the app, and it shows all the cards I already have on there. And then on the top of the app, you have to press the plus to add a card.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I do that, it stops. The app stops. Now, I've uninstalled it, and I've reinstalled it. I've restarted my phone. I don't know what else to do.
Now, did you log into your account?
Well, when I press the app, Dave, it automatically logs me on.
Okay. Okay. Hmm. I use the same app, and I be honest with you, Victor, I haven't had to add anything new. Hmm.
I haven't in probably a couple of years, and today I got another card.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And it should be just, I haven't seen any notices, you know, because I, matter of fact, just, oh, heck, a few months ago, got my wife set up on it and, you know, put all her cards in it because, you know, she had this key ring full of all these, you know, dongle tags and all that and just scanned them and put them in. And I did the same thing you did, you know, just click on the plus and typed in the name of the thing, then it did the search and found, you know, the one.
Did you do an OS update on the device? And maybe the new OS has a problem until the app gets updated?
I think on my phone it does it automatically, Steve.
Yeah, that could be an issue, that there was an OS update that now the app has to get updated too.
Well, I uninstalled it and reinstalled it. Wouldn't that necessarily update it?
No, not if they haven't released an update yet.
Right.
Okay. I know what you mean. All right. So I'll just keep checking my Google Play Store. And
you might want to check on their website to see if they have any suggestions or if there's a compatibility issue.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Oh.
I could do that. I have one other question, if it's okay.
Yeah.
On my OneDrive by Microsoft, up until July, whenever I took a picture, it would go to my gallery and also go to my OneDrive. Well, it stopped going to my OneDrive. And, again, I've uninstalled that, reinstalled that. I've been on the website. They gave me some hints on what to do, and I did it, and I still can't get it to sync. Even though on my gallery, it says it's sunk. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah. No, we know what you mean.
Synced doesn't sound much better, though.
Any suggestions, or have you heard anything like this?
Yeah, there are a couple of things you can try. If it's not uploading a particular, it won't load anything from your camera roll.
Right, since July. It will. The gallery, every picture I take goes right there. No problem with that.
Okay. So what you might want to try is on the OneDrive app, rename the camera roll folder so it starts a new one.
Rename it?
Yeah. So you don't lose the camera roll you've already got.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That stays there. You're not going to have your pictures in two different places, but... oh, well, I'm sorry.
That's life.
That's Microsoft for you. But that's the first thing to try. And you're on an Android phone.
Yeah, Samsung.
Yeah, okay. And this is it your personal vault?
Yes.
Okay. If it's your personal vault, make sure that vault is unlocked. If you don't have a Microsoft 365 subscription, well...
I don't.
You can only add up to 3 files to your personal vault.
Right. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay. So just check to make sure it's trying to send them to your camera roll folder and not to your personal vault. Because if the app is trying to send them to your personal vault, after 3 it won't.
Now, Nick, should I go on the open up my Outlook and go onto the OneDrive there and change the name?
I would do it through the web.
Yeah, okay. I'll get on a desktop and do it.
Yeah. Get on a desktop and do it through the web. And also check on the phone itself for the destination for OneDrive. Because, again, let's say your system updated OneDrive. and it reset the destination to Personal Vault, that would explain your problem immediately.
Well, it actually updated it this morning. Every morning I go into Google Play and check for updates, and that was one of the ones that updated. But it had not been working for months before that.
Yeah. Well, it may have been a previous update.
Okay.
Right? So just check. It's the easiest thing to do. Check the destination for your pictures. If it's Personal Vault, send it to whatever folder you actually want.
I'll go on the desktop right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Let us know how you make out on that key ring thing.
I will, if I could ever figure it out.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'll play around with mine, too, and see if I have anything for next week.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, we have... sometimes fixing these things takes a little bit of odd research because, you know, there are often circumstances where your operating system is different from my operating system, your level of OS on your phone is different from mine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, you know, particularly with something like Microsoft, they're clamping down on pretty much everything in terms of you must have a Microsoft account in order to use it. Now, Microsoft accounts are free, but, you know, if you've been using a different account for a year and now you have to have a Microsoft account, it's a pain in the neck to move everything over.
One of the things that we have liked about that is your Microsoft Office product key.
Yeah.
Because when you upgrade your computer after 10 years and it wants your old product key on the new computer and you can't find that box anymore.
Yeah.
So now your product key is stored in your account. And if you forget your password, there's a reset password function.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Before we go back to the phones, we want to thank Richard for his generous donation. Thank you, Richard. We need you to make the call and make the pledge. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. You vote with your dollars. Do you want us to stay on this station? Do you want this station to stay on the air? We need your help. Remember, we truly are public radio. We don't get federal money. We don't get state money. We don't get city money. We don't get county money. We don't get school district money. We don't get any money from anybody but you. When we say public, we ain't kidding. So make the call, make the pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz app. And while you do that, we will talk to Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Well, hi. I have a fairly old laptop, maybe 10 years old. It's still working, but it's getting a little long in the tooth and getting pretty slow, and I'm looking for a new one. And I've been looking at the various brands of laptops that are available. And someone said to me recently that all the brands use basically the same components inside, that there's no such thing as a Acer brand or a Asus brand component. That they all.
Bob, can I interrupt you? You got us on speakerphone?
Yes.
Could you please take it off, sir?
Turn it off.
Yeah, there's too much of an echo. We can't.
Yeah, we're getting too much of an echo.
Hard to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you're kind of right.
Laptop. I've been looking at the various brands, and I've been told that they all use pretty much the same components from Korea or someplace, and that there really is no difference in the build quality of the various brands. Do you have any opinion about that?
It's not entirely incorrect. There are only a few companies left making motherboards. So you get an MSI motherboard, or you get an AMD motherboard, or you get, you know, whatever the one, there's maybe five or six brands that are out there. Many of them are made to a specific brand specification. And that's why you see a different number of ports on laptops and things like that.
And a lot of the major brands will have a cheap line, a good line, and a business line.
Right.
And so that's the build quality. You buy a cheap one for $500, you buy a really good one for $1,000, and it will have better build quality.
Right. So it's kind of true in that there are only a few companies that are actually making motherboards. They are, however, making them to the specification of the manufacturer. So, you know, maybe both Acer and Asus buy their motherboards from MSI, but they have different specifications that they include in their specs for that motherboard.
And they probably all got built by TSMC.
Yeah.
And assembled by Foxconn.
Exactly.
Well, that's very helpful. I have another small question.
Sure.
I've been speaking to some people who have laptops already. They're 2 or 3 years old. And they describe the processor being one is an i5-8300 and one is an i5-6300. What do those numbers mean? I know what the i5 means, but what do the 63 and 8300 numbers mean?
Generally, it's based on the internals of the i5. Is it a dual core, a quad core, 6 core, 8 core? Does it have 64K of cache, or does it have 128K of cache? Generally speaking, the bigger the number, the faster the chip. And so that's why it's hard to compare an i5 against an i5, because you don't know the rest of the i5. But basically, if you can Google both of those numbers, and it will tell you the differences between them. But in general, the bigger the number, the faster the chip is.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. We'd like to thank Jerry for a generous donation. Thank you so much. I'm feeling a lot better this week than I was last week. We want to thank each and every one of you who has donated. And as for the rest of you who are just kind of hanging on, stop hanging. Make the call. Make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. It's easy to do. Takes less than 2 minutes. And when you're done, you not only have done something wonderful, you feel good about it. We know, pledge drives annoy some people. It annoys the people who haven't pledged. The people who have pledged feel smug during pledge drives. So how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel annoyed or do you want to feel smug? It's your choice. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. We'd like to thank Charles for his generous donation. Thank you, Charles. And in the meantime, we will talk to Jerry from Gates, New York. How are things in Gates, Jerry?
Oh, a little wet, that's off. We're doing great.
Good. What's up?
Well, it might be just terminology, just like your opinion. I know that Windows has drivers, but then when you get to Chromebook, tablets, and phones, it's all apps. I have a Windows, one reason why, because it gives me more capability with different hardware. For example, for my scanner, I can scan from my computer, adjust the size, brightness, contrast, you know, et cetera, where from, you know, the other devices, it's just a scan.
Well, you're using an app on both devices. It's short for application. The driver is the software that tells the application how to talk to the hardware. And
both machines have those as well.
Right. Both machines have those as well. What we generally see is that the mobile apps are less sophisticated than the desktop apps.
Yeah, I do notice the apps are getting much better now because before you couldn't really do anything. Now you can do double-sided, like, wow!
Especially some of the name brand scanners like, you know, HP and Canon, their apps on mobile have gotten really sophisticated for image editing. But part of what we see is most people who want to do a scan are going to edit in Photoshop anyway. They're not going to use their scanner app for editing the photo.
Or the GIMP.
Or the GIMP, yeah.
But it's the way it gets into the computer. If it doesn't, you know, show up because of the brightness or something, you don't have it.
Right.
Well, the scanner can record it, and then an image editing app can often bring out that detail you can't see.
I've never tried that, but like I said, it just doesn't show up, and it's so much easier with the computer. You see what you have.
Sure, understood.
Right. Yeah,
understood.
The apps on the computers are a little more sophisticated than the apps on mobile devices.
Yeah. But they're really the same kind of thing. The big difference is that mobile devices are more limited in any number of ways.
Yeah.
They have less processing power. They have a less sophisticated screen. They have less memory. So, you know, when you have all that extra room and power, you can build a more powerful, bigger, better product than you can on the mobile device.
Okay, because we don't use the word drivers anymore.
You do. A driver is what's underneath. Both Windows and Chromebooks and your phone have drivers which attach an app like whatever scanning program you're using, whether it's on a phone or on a desktop. On a desktop, we tend to call them programs. On a phone or a Chromebook, we call them apps, but they're the same thing. They're the exact same thing. And in order for them to work, they must attach to a device. And the way they attach to that device on every one of your hardware things is through a driver.
The big difference is with mobile, your drivers are built in, and with your desktop, you install the drivers yourself.
Right.
Windows has theirs drivers too, but yeah, the manufacturers always say, use our drivers.
Yep.
Right.
And in a mobile app, the driver is built into the app or built into the OS underneath, and you don't install it yourself.
Okay. So, right. But it has them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. And one other comment was, Chromebooks, tabs, and Windows all have different. Chrome and different and phones, tabs, tablets, and your phone are all different. You know, they're different versions of Chrome.
Yes. Well, Chrome is multiple things. There's the Chrome OS, which is the operating system on Chromebooks and Chrome boxes. And then there is the Chrome web browser.
Which itself is based on the Chromium open source.
Right. Well, so is Chrome OS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the underlying code is the same for all platforms. But then depending on whether it's mobile or desktop, it'll have a different skin on top of it.
Right. And in addition to that, you may have a different version of the browser on your desktop, your laptop, and your tablet. Because as with any other device, somebody has to program the new features in, and they have priorities. So they look at where do most people run Chrome? Oh, on a desktop. We'll update that one first. Then we'll update the phone, then we'll update the tablet, et cetera, et cetera. So you may well find that you have different versions of the same program, whether you call it a program or an app, on multiple devices, even though it's really the same program.
Yeah, I've always kind of distinguished program is the actual source code of the program, and the application is what you get to actually run.
Right.
Because some of the, like on the phone, a date in some time, the only way you can't type it in is only drop-down menu only.
Right.
And unless you know...
Because phones have really small keyboards, so it's easier to click on it.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't type it. Where on the desktop, you type it.
So. Because you have
right,
a big keyboard.
Because they're different devices, and they are designed differently because of the size of the device. Okay. I'm sorry, we got to take a break.
Okay, just wanted to point out there is a difference.
There absolutely is. Thank you very much. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back. The first hour is done, but don't go away. We've got a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. Make the call. Make the pledge. 585-966-5299. 1-800-790-0415. Jazz901.org or the Jazz app. And we will be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, sound bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you. We are member supported, Jazz 90.1. See you in a few minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites, hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We want to thank everyone who has pledged, including Suzanne, a new listener and a new member. Thank you very much. We are honored for you to join us. We will tell you that we only pledge twice a year. Most of the time, we just answer people's computer questions. But we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And that means you get to hear us asking for money. And that happens twice a year. Like I said, we're here for you every single week. And now we need you to be here for us, particularly those of you who listen via the podcast, whether you listen through your favorite podcast software, through the Jazz 90.1 app. There are many, many hundreds of you who listen, and most of you do not pledge. And I don't know why that is. You would think that if you really like the show, you must like the show. You listen every week. We'd love to have you pledge. And for you folks particularly, you can do it online, jazz901.org, or through the Jazz 90.1 app. For those of you who feel the need to speak to a human, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-415. Thank you. In the meantime, we'll talk to Ed from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi, and the sneeze is silent.
Yeah.
there was a joke about my name is Smith, FM, FM7ITH, but the seven is silent.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a proud member.
Thank you.
Delighted to be. I have a question about the most current thoughts on batteries. I have a MacBook, and I'm wondering, and also an iPod, whether I should let the batteries die down to red zone and then recharge them, keep them plugged in as much as possible, plug them in periodically. What are the thoughts?
Currently, at least, the prevailing thought pattern is that you shouldn't really look, as a battery is charged and as a battery is discharged, it stresses the battery. And the more stress you put on it, the shorter the lifespan. Mm-hmm. The maximum amount of stress happens when the battery is discharging below 40% and charging above 80%. So if you have an app that tells you you've hit 40%, you should charge now, or you've charged to 80%, stop, they say that is the best for your lifespan of any of your devices.
And many of the newer devices will automatically do that for you.
Right.
So it becomes, especially on a laptop, or if it just sits on your desk all day, leave it plugged in. And the OS will determine when it needs to be charged, and it will keep it at a mid-charge without overstressing the battery.
Older ones, however, will not. So if you've got an older laptop and you can take the battery out because you leave it plugged in all day, take the battery out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a MacBook Air. I don't think I can get the battery.
No, you can't.
Not easily. but then on the other half of that is the chemistry of the battery likes to be refreshed every now and then. Mm-hmm. So what especially Apple, in fact, I can even post their link. They have a big thing on battery care, especially with the lithium ion batteries. Every month or so, drain it to like 10% and then recharge it again just to keep the batteries fresh.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a memory effect like the old nickel cadmiums did. Where if you use it for 10 minutes and uncharge it, it will suddenly assume it only has 10 minutes.
Right.
But because, you know, as Nick said, the batteries are stressed by charging and discharging. They're also worn out by charging cycles. So especially on the Mac, if you plug your battery in, it may not charge. If you're above 90%, it may not charge at all because it doesn't want to eat up little, you know, microcycles.
Uh-huh.
So if you drain it 10% and then charge it again, that's a tenth of a cycle. And so it won't do that to overstress the battery.
But ordinarily a cycle is every time you plug it in?
No, it's a full discharge to a full charge is one cycle.
Oh, I see. Okay. Good. So, okay.
And yeah. until the next battery technology comes out and everything changes again.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have to know which technology you've got in your device.
Yeah.
Okay. How do I figure that out on a MacBook? It's about 5 years old.
The specs will be online. You just have to know what model you have.
Pretty much for the last 20 years, they have all been lithium ion.
Yeah.
The original Mac Portable was lead acid.
Great! That's what I want to do, carry around a lead acid battery all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 10 pounds of the battery of the computer's weight was the battery, because that was the only thing that would charge it. And so I heard a statistic that if you take that lead acid battery that ran that computer for several hours, put it on a modern computer, you'd get like 5 minutes out of it because of the power drain. The PowerBook 100 series, so maybe not 20, maybe 10 years. So the PowerBooks were nickel metal hydride. Anything with the with an Intel processor or better have been lithium ion. So they've been lithium ion for at least 10 years.
Okay.
Because the energy density is so much better than previous batteries. You get more power out of a smaller battery, which is what everyone's goal is for laptops.
Right. Okay.
Okie doke.
Well, I'll try to monitor it and then keep it within that range.
There you go. Yep. And like you said, every once in a while, drain it, charge it up full.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks
all right.
so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There
yeah,
is a...
it's all by guess and by gosh when it comes to batteries these days.
Yeah. I saw an interesting show on PBS years ago with David Pogue, and I'm mad that the technology hasn't reached the public yet. The way the current lithium batteries work, they have a fluid electrolyte in the battery, and the batteries age when the little dendrites extend in the cells, your little lithium dendrites, and then the anode will touch the cathode and start shorting out. And if too many of them short out over age, then the fluid electrolyte will start to boil, generate a gas, and cause your batteries to swell.
Right.
And there's a newer technology that uses a solid electrolyte instead of liquid, and it's amazing in that it's almost indestructible. They showed an example. They had a big battery plugged into a computer, and they took a pair of scissors and started cutting pieces of the battery off, and nothing happened except the estimated battery life remaining kept dropping because they were physically removing the battery. So they're probably still working out production issues.
And there's another new technology that actually apparently uses steel and something else, doesn't have dendrites, and the way it works is as it rusts, it produces energy, and then when you charge it, it essentially unrusts. Believe me, that's very simplified.
Yeah.
So you don't get dendrites, and the battery, they're saying, if they can make the technology affordable and workable,
yep,
will last forever.
So if you're in college or you're looking for a second career, get into material science, especially battery technology.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, and as the growth of electric cars happens, the Tesla has, what's the joke, like 500 laptop batteries in it.
Yeah.
And it's an electric car. It's got to store the battery, the power somewhere. That's why I wish the hydrogen-fueled cars had caught on. It functions very much like a gasoline car. You go to a tank, you fill a station, you fill your tank in 4 or 5 minutes, and you get 300 miles.
Right.
But there were concerns about the flammability of hydrogen.
A small few concerns.
Right. But if anyone stopped to think about the flammability of gasoline,
yeah, right,
we never would have got gas stations either.
Exactly right.
You know, that's one other thing. You know, now with all these newer cars coming out fully electric, I got thinking about, you know, and they show somebody just plugging it on in, and they go, well, wait a minute. That's now an additional cost when you buy a car. And I was looking up the cost. It can be anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 to set your house up and get the charging unit. So
well, it depends on who you go to. You can get it for about half that. But yes, yes, yes.
Well, and if you want a 240 volt, it'll to charge faster versus your 120. So most people have a 240 volt outlet for their clothes dryer. So you unplug that and plug your car in.
Or you just add a second one.
Or add a second one, yeah. But there are government credits
right.
when you buy an electric vehicle to help offset that, but eventually those will go away.
But those stands and everything else that yep. you got to have and the cabling and all that other stuff.
You don't have to have those for your home. You don't have to have the stand for your home. You can just plug it into a 240 volt outlet.
You still got to have it somewhere it's outside where it's safe to do it.
Yeah, an outdoor plug on your garage. I know a lot of people
have. Yeah, and those plugs and charging units, like I say, on the average, run about $4,000.
I have several friends who have electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a charging station. They only need a 240-volt outlet, yeah. just like the one you have your dryer plugged into. They don't need a charging station.
Hmm.
You need a charging station when you're nowhere near a house, for example, and you know that sort of yes, those cost thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And what you can also do is Tesla has their Powerwall,
right,
which is run off of solar panels.
Well, and but that's mostly to charge your to power your house.
You power your house, but it can also power your car
right.
too.
Right. So yeah, I like the idea of an electric car. I have range anxiety.
Yeah.
Although the ones that now do 300 miles.
And now that you're retired, you don't drive anywhere.
Did well,
you
there's
see,
that.
Yeah, this is but as far
did
as
you
drive.
See that other photo, though, of Europe where they have a lot of the smaller cars that were electric that are now in a graveyard?
That's because they can't get chips for them.
Yeah, well, no, they can't replace the cells.
Oh, the old technology. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're just there used sitting to be there.
A place, there used poor. To be a place called A Better Place, a company called A Better Place. And they thought, wouldn't it be great if you bought your car, but leased the battery?
Hmm.
And if we can figure out a way to replace it, like putting a battery inside a toy car.
Yeah.
You know, you just pull it out, put a new one in, go on your way. They said the average fill up is like 3 to 5 minutes. If they could make it that short,
yep.
yeah.
it would be viable technology. So the guy created a robot to do it. You roll over the pit. And the robot pulls the old battery and puts a new one in. Managed to get it down to 5 seconds.
Whoa. Nice.
Yeah, Tesla did a demonstration of that where they changed the battery in a car in less time than it took someone at the gas station to fill their tank traditionally. So it can be done. So that's the other end of material science is recovering and recycling the lithium in the batteries.
Well, like you said, it literally goes in because nothing. It's got to go in and on an angle, and it just clips in. And it's just like your batteries and your cameras and everything else. It's got those usually four prongs.
Yeah.
And they just got to make contact inside the car. So they're going in, snapping, one thing that I saw. And they just literally, like you said, hinge, it drops down, slide out, up, clip, done.
Off you go.
Yep. Yep.
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Dennis. What's up?
This is for Steve. Steve, I bought iPhone SE Generation 2, 2020, in the spring. And right now, it's saying my battery is 98%, you know, when you look at the optimization or whatever you call it. My phone says I have warranty until March of 2022. Are my expectations too high that I'm down, that I've already gone from 100% optimization to 98? And I mean, what do I make of that? What do you think?
When did you get the phone?
Spring of this year.
So 6 months, 2% in 6 months. Nah, it's not too bad. Generally, batteries are recommended to be replaced when they get below 80%, which is generally 2 to 3 years of life.
Okay. So it's not unrealistic then, and will it materially affect my phone in terms of doing like streaming or anything like that because it's 98% instead of 100%?
Not specifically. It just means that instead of 10 hours, you're going to get 9 hours or whatever the math works out to be out of a full charge.
Okay.
The one thing that does happen is when your maximum battery capacity gets too low, the phone can go into what it calls performance, not perform. Yeah. Performance. It's in performance mode now. It goes into saving mode, where it will slow the clock speed down so that it doesn't draw such a high power demand. And so you can choose whether you want it to run fast and run out of power faster, or you can go into lower power and keep working longer. And generally, that's when you get in that 80% and below range.
But that's when it hits that full charge. So during the time that you're using it, it doesn't provide less power. It provides the same amount of power for less time.
Okay. So it's fine. Just keep using it, and then by then I'll be out of warranty if it gets down to 80%, and I'll just get the battery changed on it then, or buy a new phone.
Yeah, that's kind of the sort of the hidden thing, is that a lot of people will upgrade their phone every 2 or 3 years, and so you never know your battery's weak because you've replaced it by then. But that's something to watch out when you buy a used phone. What's its battery at?
Yeah.
So if you get a great deal on a phone, but it's got a dead battery, and the first thing you have to do is replace it, it's not such a great deal after all.
Right.
The other thing you can do, too, is on the iPhones, and in fact, they just added this on the Macs as well. When your standard warranty expires, your Apple Care, you can switch to a month-to-month plan and pay like $6 or $8 a month, depending on your phone. Probably the SE is less than that. And keep the Apple Care going for as long as you pay those monthly payments. So the Apple Care doesn't have to stop at the end of your 2 years. You can keep it going.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either. By the way, this phone is a refurb from one of the carriers, one of the major cell phone carriers. So is it possible that the battery was already, it's not a brand new battery in there. Maybe been in there before I got it.
It may be. The only way to know that is if you had looked at the battery life when you first got it to see what it started out as.
Started out as 100%.
Then it probably was a new battery.
Okay. All right. Well, great, Steve. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thanks, Dennis.
And there is a program called Coconut Battery that I'm going to post that will let you monitor deeper things about your battery, the manufacture date, the capacity. It shows you the capacity in milliamp hours instead of just percent. But then you have to do the math.
Right.
And it's kind of some interesting information about the depths of your battery.
Nice. People are beginning to notice that the battery life of any device is really important, and we don't get great battery life out of things anymore.
Because we want them to do more and more and more.
Right, right.
Well, and that's what Dave says. If they'd make the phone a millimeter thicker, they could put that much more battery in it.
Yep.
And I've been telling, they'd go bananas because there's really no big features that they could add to a phone. But if you offer more battery life, you got a winner there.
Yep. So instead of a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, you get a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. That's 25% more battery. Yep. 20% more battery.
And I get annoyed that they're using 4,000 milliamp hours because that sounds like a lot. If you said it was 4 amp hours, that doesn't sound like much.
Exactly.
Well, like we've also said, it's ridiculous the way the folks say, got to make it thinner.
Yep.
And then you put protective cases on it anyway.
Because otherwise it folds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also relative, too. I put a 5,000 milliamp hour battery in my plane, and it lasts for 10 minutes, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, right.
In my computer, it'll last for 8 to 9 hours. Yeah.
Right. Let's get to the phones. Our next caller is Art from Rochester, New York. What's up, Art?
Hi. I'm in Rochester, and I have a problem with my iPad. The problem is it's in San Francisco. I discovered that I had left it on the plane when I was at Kennedy Airport.
Oh dear!
And I was able to lock it, and that was great. And then it sets up a message, and then later I submitted a support ticket with the airline, and I got a ticket number. So I wanted to add the ticket number to the screen that whoever found the iPad was going to see. However, I pushed that out to the iPad, and it's been a week, and it hasn't pushed out. So my question is, How can I, like, kick it in the pants to get that update on the screen?
You probably can't. It's likely the battery's dead. Or if it was found, it was turned off.
Okay.
I know a lot of people, and we've heard, we had a customer just lose their iPhone on the train in Penn Station. And I have lost my iPhone at Wegmans, left it in the cart when I returned my cart. The first thing they do is turn them off because they don't want them to ring all the time.
Right.
So
if I may interject, I have been able to track its progress. So it's still recording in. Does that count as quote unquote off?
It must have enough power to report its location, but maybe not to light the screen up and change the screen information.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're lucky, it's an airline employee that will turn it into lost and found, and it will make it back to you. If you're not lucky, someone's trying to steal it. But one of the things that has happened with this Find My feature, your device is locked to your Apple account. And if someone does try to steal it and erase it, to use it again, they cannot use it without your credentials. So it sort of has killed the theft of phones and tablets because you can't use them again after they're stolen.
Okay, thanks for the info. I hear the music coming up.
Yep, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites. Give us a call. Make a pledge, 585-966-5299. 1-800-790-0415. Securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz app. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, we're heading into the last half hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on Jazz 90.1. Don't forget, while we're talking to the next person on the phone, you can pledge 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. You know, it's hard to not be able to pledge. So make that pledge while we talk to Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. So a little bit earlier you were talking about the way laptops or even, I guess, iPhones charge and discharge and how the maximum length of time it remains charged depends on how it was cycling. So I'm wondering, can that be taken care of by the operating system so that when you, let's say, have your laptop or MacBook Air plugged in, that when it, you know, is charging, the operating system would control and keep it from overcharging, if you will? And
yes and no.
Do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. There has to be some sort of
power management
feature in the hardware connection to the battery that says, you know, you're done, unplug.
And especially in the Mac, since the Apple makes the hardware and the software, they have all that built in.
Right.
And you will often see when you, if you plug in your laptop, it'll say not charging or what does it say? Or holding, something like that, that it's not going to charge it to above that 80%. Because based on your pattern of usage, you don't need a fully charged battery right now, so it's going to save the life of the battery.
Okay, so in the case of the Macs, the operating system or the firmware, whatever it is, can take care of that.
Right, and on the iPhone, there's a setting in your battery settings called Optimized Battery Charging that helps reduce battery aging. So it will learn your habits again. And so most people, you know, I'll plug my phone in before I go to bed. It doesn't need to charge up in an hour.
Right.
So it will trickle charge all night long, and it knows I get up at 8 o'clock, and so by 8 o'clock it'll be at 100%.
Did that feature exist in the older iPhones, for instance, going back to iPhone 6 and even 5S?
It's in the operating system. Let me see if I can find out when they added
that.
And
in the hardware, right? I mean, it still has to, some of that has to be in the hardware if it's going to be able to turn off charging.
know how to do it, yeah.
There has to be a hardware component.
iOS 13 and later can do that. Let me see if there is a phone requirement as well. No, just iOS 13 and later. So one of the things that Apple's have always done is they don't overcharge, so it knows, it has always known when the battery's full and stops charging. One of the dangers of using third-party and sometimes knockoff chargers is it will keep charging the phone again over and over and over and over and until the phone explodes. So it's one of the caveats against not using a third-party charger because it can't talk to the device like it's expecting to. We had a customer bring a machine in this week and said it wouldn't charge. They're using a third-party adapter. I look at it; it's a 5-watt adapter. So we calculated about it will take about 20 to 30 hours to charge their computer.
Assuming it's off.
Yeah, it's right, because you can't use the computer while you're charging it. 5 watts is for phones. Right. Generally, 10 to 12 watts is tablets. My computer has a 96-watt adapter.
Right.
So when you're talking about the iPhone, though, the adapter typically is a USB-type connection. But you're saying the actual adapter itself can be different from an Apple source to a third-party source.
Right, the charger itself, yeah. But the charger and the cable, I think was it someone at Google did a breakdown on USB chargers at Amazon, and so they bought 100 of them and found that 75 were just crap. Manufacturing was horrible. There was no insulation between the high voltage and then the low voltage because the charging adapter has to take the 120 volt AC signal, convert it to 5 volt, and usually 5 volt and 1 amp, and so there's a high voltage section, a low voltage section that has to be insulated or it will short out. And most of the adapters he looked at were just crap. And there were only two or three of them that were any good. And the name brand ones, you know, from the manufacturers were always the best. In fact, he had some micrographs of the Apple charger and was just amazed on the amount of technology they crammed into that tiny little box.
Yeah.
And how well it was designed and the chip. There's a circuit board inside your charger.
Yeah. So, Tom, it's not about the connector. So I have two chargers. Both have USB-C on them. One is 5 volts for my phone. If I plug that into my Chromebook, as Steve said, it would take 25 hours to charge it. But if I were to plug the 65-watt Chromebook charger into my phone, I don't even know what would happen. Blow up? Charge in 1 minute? I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on the charging circuitry in the phone.
Right.
Does it accept the fact? So you may start seeing these in the spec sheets now where a phone accepts fast charging. So instead of a 5-watt charger that takes 5 hours, you can put a 10-watt charger on it and it will take 2 hours.
Right.
So you have to be very careful then. I mean, most people look at the little white USB chargers and just think they're all the same. And you're saying you really have to be very careful about what device you're plugging into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't buy the ones that are so cheap. You know, you see them in the impulse buy at the gas station. You know, 2 for $1. No, don't buy those.
Yeah, don't buy those.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just look at the outside. You got to look at the when we get chargers. Of course, I'm old.
Yeah.
So you look at the bottom of the charger, and they've got gray letters on a black device. You can hardly read them, and they're so tiny.
Yeah.
So I tend to blow them up and then write out a little card and then tape that card to the side of the thing saying, you know, this charger is for this device and it does this.
And we even see the fake ones and knockoff ones will have the Underwriter Laboratory sticker on it. They'll have all the regulation stickers on it that need to be there, but they're all fake.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dan from Watertown, New York. How are things in Watertown, Dan?
Wet. Very, very wet.
Yeah.
So
why they call it Watertown.
We had some nasty thunderstorms last night, and everything is thoroughly soaked.
Yeah, I bet. So what's up?
Well, I have an iPhone 8, and I would like to know which app you would prefer as a good app to record text messages with date and time stamp to get them copied off of the phone to be used, say, on a PC to put together a document or something. I have a thread.
Does it already, I think.
I have a thread with multiple conversations between me and another party, and I'd like to save that with date and time stamps.
Yeah, you tap and hold and say save, I think.
Steve's got his phone in his hand and trying to figure out. He's got a look
just
on his
how
face
to
like
do
he's
it.
Never seen one
well,
before.
Well, no, it's yeah, I thought it was built in.
He's scrolling madly.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a conversation here to save.
He's,
yeah.
Oh, you can save individual messages.
What I've been doing is just taking screenshots and scrolling up and take another screenshot and scroll up and take another screenshot, but that there's got to be a better way than that.
That's a little cumbersome.
Yeah. So there are a couple of apps that are designed to extract data from the phone. iPhone Explorer is one that I have used before. We usually use that when the phone is dead and we're trying to resurrect it again. Yeah, you tap and hold and you should get a pop-up menu with the option to copy or a choice of more, and one of the more choices is to save.
Okay, and it will save like all the conversations on the same thread to the same person into one file?
Yeah.
Ooh, cool.
Looks like it will email it to you from the phone itself. If you do it on your computer, you can use the share sheet to share the entire conversation to yourself as well.
Okay. So tap and hold, and then a window pops up and says more?
A menu pops up to let you copy that message. And there's a more option to let you copy all the messages.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Yep. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Don't forget, everybody, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we will be having the Soundbites Lounge. You'll see it on the... on our webpage and on the homepage, there's a link to the Soundbites Lounge. We're there every Sunday at 9 p.m. It's the second one down after the backups. If you go to that page at 9 o'clock, refresh it, and you'll see a link to the portal. Courtesy of Mastermind Lounge, we'll be having that lounge every day. I want to thank Steve for letting me speak at Apple Cider this last week. It was a lot of fun. Good questions, good people. We had a lot of fun. I talked about the Raspberry Pi. I was telling Steve at 2 o'clock that afternoon, I made one tiny little change to the operating system, which locked me out of everything.
You should know better.
I do know better. As I clicked OK, I thought I really shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, not before
I was right.
You got to give a presentation. Like they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly right.
No, I'm making it better.
But I got back in.
Oh, yeah, so better that he couldn't use it to break it further.
Right, that's when I found out I couldn't use that that charger you gave me. Because it was for a Raspberry Pi 4, which has the USB-C connector.
Not the regular round barrel.
Right, not a barrel connector.
Yeah.
It was, I've got it set up in a corner with a 2 terabyte hard drive on it, and a 128 gig, thumb drive and 128 gig micro SD card. It's doing all kinds of storage stuff and it's doing all kinds of stuff, but I had to tear it apart, pull it and its power supply and over to my monitor where I had luckily had a micro SD. A micro HDMI to regular HDMI cable, so I could plug it all in. I have a little keyboard I could attach to it, a little mouse I could attach to it. It's on the keyboard. so I could actually boot it up, get in, unmake the change, and tear it all down from there, move it back over to the corner, build it all back up again, get online, make sure everything worked. That was an interesting half hour.
I'm going to, matter of fact, I just saw a current post that evidently they have the ARM version of Windows 11 for the Raspberry Pi.
Yes, they do.
And I saw the quick clip for it, and I wasn't able to, play with it yet because I was still catching up on some of my other videos. Whether you folks know it or not, you've heard me talk about how the sun cycles are going through right now. And we just, for you photographers, this past week was unbelievable for aurora. I mean, some of the photos that they were showing.
This far south.
Yeah. Even people in Webster were taking pictures out over the lake and that were unbelievable.
You normally don't think that we're far south.
Yeah.
But what it was, folks, in case you missed it, which a lot of folks did, the sun erupted because we're just at the bottom of a new sun cycle and it's starting up, and it had a major burst, and it was earth directed, and it hit, and it produced some great aurora. It also messed up GPSs for a short bit.
Yep.
But we're going to see more and more of this because the sun is just starting to wake up, and this is normally a 10 to 11 year cycle. And they were even saying this was so disruptive because there was a minor burst and then the major burst that even some satellites dropped in orbit because of the disruption in the Earth's gravitational pull.
And the particles that are hitting them, we sometimes forget that photons have mass. It's a particle, and it slams into the satellites. I didn't hear if ISS had to shelter, but sometimes they do, on the radiation.
Although, as you said, both the Aurora Borealis and the Aurora Australis were amazing, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, some of the photos, if you want to see some of the photos, there's a scientist, her name is Dr. Tamitha Scove. And that's where I get a lot of my information. But she's also a photographer. And she's got some gorgeous pictures of Aurora Borealis. If you have never seen the Northern Lights and all that, there are some spectacular shots up there that you might really want to check out. But this is something that's going to happen more and more, folks. So, your GPS systems and all that other stuff, don't be surprised at time to time. All of a sudden, they go out on you. And they can go wonky. It's going to happen over the next 10 years because, like I said, the cycle is just starting at the bottom. So our communications, whether it's cell phones, computers, whatever, could be in for a disruption to where you could be typing along, going along, and then all of a sudden everything just drops out. It's that quick. It doesn't slowly fade out. It just goes, boop, gone.
And if you're interested in following Dr. Tamitha Scove, she calls herself the Space Weather Woman.
Yep.
And she's at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Yeah. It was. They did a whole talk on her, how she even got around to being interested into weather and everything else. And
specifically space weather. Because that's what you're talking about. That's what's affecting us right now.
And how we got her pulled into ham radio.
Yeah.
And it's a great story in that, but it's very informative, especially, you folks are trying to do, communications or setups and everything else. You got to be aware of.
It's not just radio,
mm-mm.
But it's also GPS.
Oh,
and it will affect your network connection as well.
Cell service too, because if you're working on satellites. Because it's going to affect those satellites.
So keeping track of what's going on with the sun and space, particularly through spaceweatherwoman.com, will give you a good idea of what you may be up against. Because I get calls from people. I can't. My network went down yesterday. What's wrong with my service? Nothing's wrong with your service. We had another solar flare.
Yeah.
That's That's just the way
that
it works.
That giant ball of burning hydrogen, a million Earths big, hiccuped.
Exactly right. And hiccuped in our direction
this time.
Yeah. But there are solar flares all the time. Most of them are not in our direction, so they don't really affect us terribly. But sunspot activity is increasing, and solar flares are increasing. We're seeing more of them coming our way. There will definitely be disruptions.
And her reports, though, she's not your typical scientist. She is a riot to sit there, and she gets so excited about it, she'll just go, look at it, bam, 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 bam. It's shooting off like a machine gun. But she makes it interesting, and like I say, it can keep you informed, especially if you depend on GPS service for your work or anything else, and being aware of it.
Yep. So definitely do that. I've already reminded people about the lounge meeting. Thank you very much.
And a lot of times I like watching some of the space photographers that will do transits. ISS will transit in front of the sun, and you have like half a second to catch that picture.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other big thing. They've been doing the space station has been doing a lot of work with kids groups, and through radio and that, and talking to the space station, because they got a scheduled time and that, and it's like a lottery, and these kids get to ask all the astronauts in classrooms and everything else, which is really a cool program that they learn more about space and get kids interested in space, because let's face it, space compared to when we were growing up, it was a big thing. I can always remember watching different sections of the space station going up, and they were hooking them up and unfurling all the arrays for the solar panels and all that. It was really earth-shattering to watch all this happen in real time. Well, that's all died off now, and try to keep people interested in space and that, because a lot of good things come out of it. I mean, we've developed a lot of things. A simple thing like Velcro. Velcro was essentially made for outer space.
It's a NASA invention, just like Teflon and a whole bunch of other things that have trickled down into everyday life. Exactly right. So,
It's unbelievable, the stuff that's out there, folks. That thanks to space and just other things that they've discovered, as far as foods and everything else, and growths, and how to cure stuff.
Yep. So, it's very cool stuff. Look, we're about to the end of our 2 hours together, but let's not forget that we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your help. So please step up, give us a hand, help us out. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And throughout the week, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. And again, I'm going to take this minute to talk to you folks who are listening to the podcast. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you, quite literally, who listen to the podcast every week. And most of you do not pledge, and I don't know why. You clearly listen every single week. You clearly enjoy the show. You clearly are seeking out the podcast and listening to it. We're here every week for you. Please be here for us. Make the pledge online at jazz901.org or through your Jazz 90.1 app. Just click open the menu on the upper left, the hamburger menu, the three lines, and the very first thing you'll see is donate. I think it even has an exclamation point. So you know it's important. It's emphasized because it's important. You said that twice. It's twice as important. Mm-hmm. So please make that call if you're local. Get online one way or the other if you're not local. And make that pledge. We need your help. We need your support. We love doing this show. And we want to keep doing this show.
You think so? After maybe 30-year commitment?
Exactly. But we can't do it by ourselves. If the station can replace us with something that keeps them on the air longer, they have an obligation. They have a fiscal and moral obligation to the people who run this station to do that. And we want to stay on the air. We want to stay on this show. But that's on you. It's not up to us. Well, we don't get a say in the matter. You do. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Jazz901.org or the Jazz90.1 app.
Well, we hear all the time, folks, you know, great show, really love your show. You know what? If you really think it's that great and, you know, really love it, then, like we said, only twice a year we come to you folks and ask you to help us out so we can keep coming to you, so you can keep saying, repeating that, because we love hearing that. We love it. Well, we can solve other folks' problems because that's what we've been started out doing 30 years ago and want to continue doing, but we can only do it through your support.
What's interesting is that the same statistic seems to apply to public radio as it does to shareware. It used to be that only 5% of the people who used the product paid for that product when it was voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in exactly the same boat. 5% of you are carrying 95% of you. And God bless those 5% of you who do. But really, what's wrong with the rest of you? It doesn't take but a couple of minutes to become a member. It doesn't take a lot of money to become a member.
There is no wrong amount.
Right.
If you sit there and say, well, hey, you know, I can only afford this much, that's okay. We're not going to turn it down. We appreciate it because it's one more dollar that gets us closer to our goal.
As soon as we reach our goal, the pledge drive will be over.
That's right. So if anybody wants to donate $70,000, we promise you we will stop pledging.
Yo.
The minute we verify that amount with the bank.
I think Rob would get the hint that you folks like us then.
Exactly.
And we don't get any money from the government or, you know, tax dollars. It's all...
We also don't get any money from the school district.
Yeah, we pay them, I imagine.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So this is what we need. We need your help. Make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. No, you know what? Not the numbers. I'm just going to give you the website. Go to the website at jazz901.org. Click the big donate now button. Or go to the Jazz 90.1 app, which is available for both Android and iPhone, and click the hamburger menu in the upper left-hand corner. The very first button is donate. Tough to miss. In the meantime, that music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank all the people who were kind and generous enough to pledge this time around. We very, very much appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you all. Thank you very much. And for the rest of you, stop slacking. Make the call. Make that pledge. You've got all week to do it. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just 166 hours.